Hi, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to virtual consultant and online trainer, Chad Grau. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for reaching out and looking forward to talking.
No problem. So jumping right in, how about you introduce yourself a little bit more and tell us where you're from so we can get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So again, my name's Chad, and I currently live in Chatham, and I've been here since December 2003. Actually, from Lincoln, but I've been in Chatham since 2003, raising my family along with my wife, Katie. We have two high school students at Glenwood High School, and so we've enjoyed our time in Central Illinois after did school in St. Louis, spent a little time in Morton, but currently been in Chatham since about 2003.
Okay. And then, like I said earlier, you are a virtual consultant, an online trainer who actually helps farmers essentially kind of sell food online. So can you tell us more about this and how you got into this?
Sure. So from about 2010 to 2017, I very intentionally built my own business along with my wife and had an awesome team in health and fitness kind of really grew to love the marketing side of growing that business. And so about 2017, I decided to make, actually probably 2016, I made a pivot to want to help other businesses adopt the marketable skills that I had worked through my own business. And I'd always really loved the loyalty side of growing my business. So not just, I mean, yes, acquiring customers is a really, really important thing, but once you have a customer, how do you keep the customer? How do you get referrals? How do you have them have a good experience and just want to, you know, share what you do? So that's was something that we really focused on and contributed to our success. And so that was kind of the path I was going to go down to, was really try to focus on that niche with businesses. And I took a handful of different types of clients for the first year. And then ultimately ended up getting an email from a gentleman named Blaine Hitzfield, who is an e-commerce farmer in Fort Wayne, Indiana area, Roanoke, along with his brothers. And he came to me looking for help finding customers and acquisition customers and rolling out Facebook campaigns and leveling up their email marketing. And we really, it kind of the conversation led to, you know, okay, it's great. Let's look at your foundation. How are you onboarding your current customers? What's your overall marketing process look like as it relates to loyalty? Because for me, it just makes sense. Before you put the gas on, bring a lot of people into your business, let's make sure that there's this platform and there's some process in place to make sure that you keep them, not just have a one and done sale. Let's have one customer that orders 10, a dozen times. So we went through that, had really incredible results. And the Hitzfields, Seven Sons Farm and again, Roanoke, Indiana, they actually developed their own proprietary e-commerce software, kind of like Shopify for farms, for example, because it did specific, and they had tried Shopify, maybe WooCommerce or some other e-commerce platforms, but it just didn't do what they really needed to be able to service people through multiple different types of fulfillment, be it whether they picked up at the farm, whether they met at what's called a community pickup location, or they received home delivery. So they developed their own platform. And they have now over, I think, 450 other farm users. And so they begin saying, hey, you really should work with Chad on your marketing because we've seen awesome results. So it's been a great partnership. They're great people. They're very smart, love their customers. And it's just been, I feel really lucky that they reached out to me. And it's been a win-win partnership. So that's kind of the overall, like how I got into marketing in general. And then now why I'm really specifically just working with farms, which has a lot of movement, especially regenerative agriculture, which they practice.
You know, with COVID-19, a lot more businesses have been getting into like this online market because that's the main way a lot of people are making their money right now. So have you been seeing an increase in your business or people contacting you as we go through the pandemic?
Yeah. So basically right about the pandemic, but when the pandemic started last year, I had, and it's just myself, which is kind of what I want. I just want a nice lifestyle consulting business. I'm not really looking to grow an agency currently. So preface with that, because I typically work very hands-on with one group, very intensive. And I had had two, was just finishing with a consulting engagement at the end of February, had one that started right after that, and another had another one planned for May, which is typically how I try to have kind of, you know, ramp that up. So I, you know, what I have work-wise and can be able to give some timelines for folks. So I had just finished one, was getting ready to start those two. And along with continuing to serve and work with Seven Sons, the main firm that I work with. So what I found was that there was, you know, clearly, if you recall back in March and February, we weren't sure like how COVID was spread. We were, if you touch something, if I touch a handle at the grocery store, you know, am I going to get COVID and be really sick or, you know, worse off, die? So there was a lot of, you know, rush to get, you know, not only toilet paper, but food. So all these farms, many farms, saw multiple 100% increases in their growth. I know that in March or in April, from March to April, Seven Sons grew 500%. And then from April to May, they grew another 500%, and they were already a seven-figure farm. And that was very pretty high, but several farms were seeing the multiple 100% growth, just as people were trying to find food and get it from a source they could trust and know, and then potentially hopefully have that be reliable in the future. So I did have some more interest for sure, but mostly it was, I know farms are really just, how can we find food? How can we find a processor? Because processors were having problems with COVID too. And that was a trickle-down effect leading to, you know, some farms having a problem just finding places to have harvesting done. So yes, I mean, I was very busy with my current clients, just helping them to navigate the ongoing changes with stock running in and out. I would say that during the height of the pandemic, I wasn't getting tons of people looking to start like a long-term project. They just need to get stuff out the door. But this fall, as people have had a tremendous growth last year, for sure, I've had a lot of folks that have emailed me looking to maybe start some kind of a client engagement or just to get more advanced with their marketing.
Now, when you're working with a client, how does the typical process go? Is there a questionnaire they fill out, or do you kind of just see where they're at now?
Yeah, great question. So I kind of learned the hard way when I first started as a freelancer, kind of having no training, I just like, well, I'll put this out there. This is what I'm doing. I'll have a website, I'll network, and then I'll find somebody who may be interested in what I do. And I'll spend tons of time on the phone with them. I'll write this extravagant proposal without really, you know, and that's just kind of how it was done. Like, again, I have no training in this. So that's what I did one time. And of course, I invested a lot of time to develop that. And of course, it was fairly detailed, but it didn't get accepted. So I got, you know, paid approximately $0 for that time. So what I then pursued some training through one of my mentors, Brennan Dunn, and learned kind of like the best process that's really a win-win is to do what's called a road mapping engagement, where it's a smaller paid engagement where I do a deep dive, ask multiple questions to get a really full scope of what's going on with the business. And then I will know the value I can bring to them. And then I'll be able also to more accurately price what I want to charge them, because I know the value. I have a much clearer picture of the value they can bring, and it will prevent me from it will be more budget friendly for them as well, because I can say, hey, this is about what I expect. You're not going to get into some ongoing thing where we don't know what the end goals are. And so it was a win-win. So bottom line, at the current time, I have a small engagement called the road mapping engagement where they get value out of it. I have this full-on report. Here's what I recommend that you do. If you want me to do it, here's the price they would pay, that would cost to do that. So that is something that I've had success with, and clients enjoy it because it's kind of like going on a date before proposing marriage. Like, and also gets an idea. They know, get to know me and say, okay, well, he's professional in how he handles things. I trust him. So yes, I am willing to start a more in-depth engagement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that analogy. I was just sitting over here giggling, like, you know, that's the perfect analogy for this.
Yep. Well, it just makes sense. And it feels right on my end. And also it gives me an opportunity to know, you know, I'm going to fulfill what was asked or what was agreed upon. But it also allows me to judge, boy, for one, this is, you're probably not at the scope to move forward with the size of your business. I want you to make sure you get a 5-10x investment on this in the next 6 months. So I've had to say that too. Or if it just wasn't a good connection, then I like to work with people that I like to work with. So it allows me to, it's a date just as much for me as it is them.
That's very important. And I like that. I'm going to use that. But from your perspective, do you see the farming industry moving into more of this online platform? Or how do you see that changing within, let's say, the next 5 years?
Absolutely. There is robust growth in regenerative agriculture, meaning that there's a specific way that farmers farm to be able to put heat nutrients in the soil so that they can raise healthier animals, which leads to healthier food. That's in having a connection. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you buy, you know, a pack of chicken breasts, you really don't know how it wound up there. But if you can get to know a farmer, and you know, we really value transparency, it's they can come to the farm and see how things are done. There's no questions. Like, this is how everything, you know, here's the process from A to Z. So that, just people value more transparency, having more awareness around the environmental benefits of regenerative agriculture, and people just wanting more convenience, having, you know, being able to sit at their computer, place an order for someone they know and trust, then it's going to show up on my doorstep. Like, for sure. That is something that, and during the pandemic, you know, many farmers that weren't online or weren't shipping, maybe they just had farm pickup or they had a pickup location. Meaning if I have a farm in Indiana, I'm going to go to Chicago on a Saturday and I'm going to make 5 different stops and my customers are going to come meet me. Well, during COVID, some of those things were shut down or there was low confidence. They weren't really sure. Again, it was just kind of, we were in quarantine. So many, and farmers markets were closed. So many different ways that farms had where people would make purchases from the farm, they were kind of cut off. And so then was their revenue. And there was definitely a push. I know that GrazeCart, the e-commerce platform I spoke of, they had saw a big swell of new users adopt that, do a trial of it, just so they could get online and continue to fulfill orders in a more convenient COVID-friendly way. So, but between COVID and just many, many things moving, you know, the convenience of shopping online, knowing that you can ship perishable foods and have it arrive, a 2-day shipping arrive, like literally rock hard, like it's fresh out of the freezer with dry ice and the right packaging, I it's going to continue to grow.
And I think that's so important. You know, I'm a city girl, I'm from Chicago. So before, I never really thought about the farming industry as a whole and how we really get our food, and then moving to Springfield. And I have friends that are farmers. So just talking to them and then getting some, you know, good meat, some real meat and stuff from them, and crops and that sort of thing, it's really just changed my perspective. And I wish I could have them, you know, send it to me right at my doorstep. So I think the way the world is moving, I think we're going to see like an increase in this area, like you said.
Yep. And I kind of, you know, pay attention just as a consumer. And I, you know, when I'm in the grocery store and seeing, you know, how it can give people, you see kind of the how labels transform and start talking about, you know, grass fed and open pasture raised and free, you know, so basically it's the things that, which you got to be careful of, which I can talk about that, because some of those labels are not worth very much. But, you know, basically knowing this is what consumers are choosing. They want foods that they know how they're raised. They were raised humanely and, you know, by someone, again, they know and trust, and it's more nutrient dense. Bottom line, I mean, I think it's for sure going to continue to grow. But again, I try to, when I learn of a farm that sells direct to consumer, I just get interested and they see, do they have a website? How are they fulfilling orders? And so I'm just interested always.
Yeah. And let's talk about those labels a little bit, because that is actually what I was getting at. You know, when you see grass fed or farm raised or whatever, you know, all that to me meant nothing. About 5 years ago, that would have meant nothing to me. But now I'm starting to see, I'm paying more attention because I know better. What do you think about those, you know, type of labels when we go to the grocery store?
First off, I'm not a farmer, you know, I'm a marketer, but just in working directly with farms, and I'm probably not going to be the most articulate, but cows were meant to eat grass. Oftentimes they can get fatter faster by being fed grain. And so sometimes that's what farms do. And it's, you know, that's just what I guess my area of interest and the education I've seen just from the leaders that I've learned from, you know, cows are meant to eat grass. So oftentimes, you know, you'll see labels that could be kind of misleading in that they say grass-fed, but maybe they were raised on grass, but then they were finished on grain. So it's grass-fed, grass-finished, or grass-fed, grain-finished, but they'll label it as grass-fed. So you just kind of got to be careful there. That's why I like, you know, the transparency of going direct to the farmer, and you can ask them, how's my meat raised? Is it grass-fed and finished? Or is it grain finished? So that's, I guess, just, you know, a high percentage of the meat that is available in grocery store shelves comes from some of just the big arbiters, and a larger percentage than I think folks would know is imported. So it's not raised grass-fed in the U.S., you know, so it's just a matter of what people want. I'm a consumer. I'd like grass-fed USA raised beef. So I can find a farmer here who does that. And so I seek them out and encourage people to seek them out.
And that's really smart. And then just moving right along, I know you're going to be sharing more of your knowledge with a book coming out in March. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, the writing process, and it's a self-published book. I'm working with somebody who's guiding me with the process, but it's not easy. I knew it wouldn't be. I like to read. Maybe you can at least see behind me here, but it's not easy, but it's the pain of writing is the process of trying to distill your thoughts down and just get more concrete in them, and helping people not just convey my knowledge, but helping people understand. So that's been a challenge. It's ongoing, still cross my fingers for end of March, might be early to mid April. That's the benefit, I guess, kind of the beauty of self-publishing is that, I'm trying to hit my deadlines and goals, but I want to write an awesome book that people learn from and can take action on. It's been a challenge, but I also am enjoying it. It's like, you know, it's new, completely new. And I'm excited to get it out, and hopefully, you know, people find value in it.
What can people expect to read in your book? Not giving it all away, but can you give us a little tidbit?
It kind of goes into a couple of different phases. There's two phases of the book. Have a general introduction, how I got into what I'm doing. The name of the book is 5-Star Follow-Up. Right. So it's just how to create a more profitable business with consistent sales. I will talk quite a bit about my personal experiences with in e-commerce food producers, but I think many of the concepts would apply to really any business, even service-based businesses. So the first part really gets at getting buy-in on loyalty, like just it's the decision, are you going to be a loyalty-based business? For me, and I go into some of the data behind that, but it's, you know, very common data point is that it's 5 times more expensive to acquire a customer than it is to get a current customer to make a repeat purchase. So, you know, they're going to a couple different data points, but not just bogging down with data because it's kind of boring. I mean, it's important, but it's kind of boring. But just going through some of the philosophy behind it. So I know that if I have a loyalty-based business, I view loyalty as a time multiplier, meaning that if I have a customer who buys one time and leaves, not only is it expensive if I paid like on Facebook with Facebook ads or other kind of marketing to acquire them, but if I have, again, they have those 10 to 12 purchases, that value, that dollar was, you know, leveraged much higher. But also, like if I have multiple people that are repeat buyers, that's going to increase more available time freedom for me as well. If I can have a high number of customers that are ordering regularly. So again, I kind of go through some of the overall benefits and philosophies of loyalty. From it being a great acquisition engine. If you have a loyal customer, they're going to tell their friends about it. That's how you acquire new customers. And that costs you, you know, zero, essentially. So I go through that. And I go through the process of evaluating how to make things easier for your customers. If you make ordering easy, if you make finding customer support easy, there's all these levers you can pull to make it easy for people to do business with you. That's going to help them to do business with you more often. And then I go through email design and how to do some basic copywriting that so you can send emails, which I'm a big email guy, how you can send emails that are opened and read. In my case, farmers, they're trying to learn how to market. So I try to help them with the email side of marketing. So the first phase really, it's kind of like that background information of the foundation of loyalty-based businesses and some general overall things you can do and helping people understand why you really need to still go hard on email. But then the next phase of the book is very tactical going at, you know, I'm big on customer development. It's on me. If someone comes to my website and gives me their email address, it's on me to help them develop into a customer. If I just think that they're going to find what they want in my store and make a purchase, then that's not going to be very effective. So what are the touch points I can have with them to move them along and get better educated, help them to proactively overcome objections so that they can convert to becoming a customer. Then the next phase of that process is, okay, great, they made a first purchase. How do we build more enduring loyalty and really expand that relationship with them? Then it's, what do you do with all your former customers you had? So maybe you have an aha moment that, okay, I'm going to be a loyalty-based business. I know there's things I could have done differently. So then it's a matter of, you know, now that we have these new processes in place to convert buyers the first time and then convert them to a second time and multiple time buyer, what do I do with my old customers who maybe are inactive? Maybe they fell out of habit in doing business with me. How can I reactivate them? And then the last part is just giving recommendations on a process, because farmers are busy. Like, they caring for animals, they're marketing their business, they're trying to be spouses and parents and volunteers. Having a process in place that you can tap into to know to have the right habits is how you're going to get the content out there. They're going to create sales and make all this work. So that's soup to nuts, kind of how the book is laid out. I'm excited about it. Again, I still have writing to do, but that's also been fun as I've got feedback and changed a few things along the way.
I think that's going to be very valuable, not only for people in the farming industry, but others as well. So I just want to congratulate you again. And, you know, can you tell our listeners how they can stay up to date with you and see when your book will drop so they can go out and hurry up and get it?
So I have a webpage on my landing page on my website. It's just chadgrau.com/book. So it's Chad, C-H-A-D, Grau, G-R-A-U-E.com/book. So you go there and you'll see a little 2-minute video and then a couple bullet points of what you kind of can expect in the book. And then a way to give me opt in your email address to just kind of stay informed. And I'll, again, openly sharing the writing process, see my entire outline, and then I'll just keep sharing bits and pieces as we lead up to the book coming out.